Well, hello, and welcome back to the Move Bomb podcast. This is Allie Tetrick, and somehow I still have the keys to the minivan yet again to kick off the show. You better fuel up for this one, because your mind and legs, if you had a ride with her, are about to be blown. Lucky for you, this is a no-drop podcast, because we have one of the most talented riders in the world to interview today. I'm joined by my co-host, also a legendary cyclist, Mari Holden, who's a world champion, national champion, and Olympian. Also, my dear friend. Without further ado, we have been cheering on this rider since the Tour de France Femme of Vexwift. She was not only the queen of the mountains and second overall at the Tour, she became the queen of our hearts through her tenacious riding, pure grace on the bike, and the gracious champion that she is. Also, the fact that she trains with her dog Flo in a backpack. In the last 7 days, she's inserted herself into the record books and is now crowned the queen of the Ardennes. Not only has she already won Strade Bianche this year, this last week alone, she has just won Amstel Gold, Flèche Wallonne, and Liège-Bastogne-Liège, the triple Ardennes crown. She has 5 wins in her 8 days of racing this year. Allow me to introduce you to Dami Vollering. Welcome to the Move, Dami.
Thank you. Yeah.
We are so excited. I've met you a couple years ago. We both raced for Specialized, and my now husband and I were so excited to meet you. And you have created quite a big fan base out here, not only for me and Mari, but also a ton of fans watching you just being such a persistent and beautiful racer. We wanted to talk about what this last week and your year looks like today.
Yeah, well, If I hear you say all the races I've won so far now, then I really think like, oh yeah, it's actually pretty crazy. I think I still cannot really believe it. I don't know. This morning I also waked up and I said to my girlfriend, I said, whoa, it's crazy. Yeah, but how do you celebrate this? I don't know. It feels so strange. I mean, yeah, to win one of them is already amazing, but that I could win now the three of them is... Yeah, it's really special.
So we were looking at how you, the last three races and Strade Bianche, including, we're throwing it in there too, because it's just such an iconic win, is you won in different ways each race. You have, you know, you're attacking a kilometer go, Flèche Wallonne, you just rode everyone off your wheel. And then was it only yesterday you were sprinting Alisa Longoburghini, with just so much persistence to win. Were one of these races more meaningful to you than the others?
No, I think it's really hard to pick one out of them and say, okay, this was the prettiest win. But yeah, actually, I'm really proud of that also, that I could win it on three different ways. Actually, I wrote it. I have this kind of journal, and I write in it, and I write my goals in it. And I think it was before Flanders or something. Then I was writing my goals for the Ardennes, and then I was thinking, oh, would it be great to do something crazy and just three different ways for winning? And actually, I forgot already a little bit about it, and then. Yeah, this morning I held my journal again in my hands, and I was like, wait a minute, I wrote it down. Like, I wrote down, I wanted to win uphill, I wanted to win with a sprint, and I wanted to win solo. And yeah, this morning I realized that I did all three of these things, and that's really cool. And also I think, yeah, I am always really keen to be like an all-rounder. Of course, I train for that. I really train my sprint also, but longer efforts and shorter efforts, I do it all. And I think that's also kind of my power, that I'm good in a bit all around, and that I could show that over the three last races is amazing.
I loved that you could do it that way. It's so impressive for us to be watching it here, and the way that you took control of things, especially in the finals. I mean, as I was telling Allie earlier, I felt like we were talking about the ways in which you won. And to me, it's just so special to see you. The one thing that's super consistent is you had that power to bridge the gap, or to, you know, ride people off your wheel. Unbelievable. But when we were watching the finish in Flesh and your interviews afterwards, you seem more emotional in that one than the other ones. And I don't know if like after Liège, you were just relieved or, you know, but at Flesh, it was like super noticeable, your emotions.
Yeah, I think also because like Amstel, I made from Amstel for this year really a goal. Yeah, because I was already two times second there, and now I really wanted to win that one. And yeah, then I won Amstel, and then I was like, oh yeah, and now Flesch is coming. It's also a race what suits me, but I don't know. I'm always a bit scared of this, the Muir de Roye, the last climb, and I was that morning super nervous. And normally I'm not so nervous, but now I was really nervous, and yeah. I don't know. I was really not sure if I could do it because also like, yeah, we did not really do something like that this year. A uphill finish and yeah, I don't know. I think I surprised myself a lot there because yeah, of course I wanted to win that one, but I think this was from my feeling maybe the most difficult one to win because that climb is so hard and yeah. I was already close there, but yeah, third, like not close enough. And yeah, I don't know. I was not sure if I could do it there. And then when I did it in Flesch, I was really like, really surprised by that one. Yeah, also the way how I did it, how early I had already a gap. It was like, I did not realize it. Also, I never realized at that moment after finish also that I had so early already a gap. I only realized it when I looked behind and there was like with 150 meters to go because that's the point where Anna always says like, okay, 150 meters, there you can go all out. And then I really was preparing for a kind of sprint with another girl or two like coming around me. But then I look behind and now it's so a big gap and I was like, hey, how is this possible? But I was so focused on this last climb and so in my own zone. I was really watching my breathing, how I rode like the corners, and I was sitting on my bike using all my core strength too. And yeah, I was so busy with my own effort that I really didn't think anymore that I was still racing or something. It was, yeah, it was a bit of a strange experience.
I love when you looked back and you were maybe just a little bit near the finish line and you checked back and you noticed you had the huge gap. And I mean, that smile that came across your face, we were all just here cheering for you.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
You had the biggest smile. I was like, I don't think anyone 150 meters to go up the Muir, which averages 11%, but kicks up to 16%. I don't think I've ever seen even Anna smile at that moment. Also, you were isolated and coming into it with him 5K to go, you were the only one from your team and you had other riders with multiple teammates and they didn't really attack you in there. And you just led yourself out and you went from the front the whole time. And just like, you were like a train that never looked back until you looked back and had the biggest, most beautiful smile.
yeah. I just thought, okay, now I just make it as long as possible climb I can do because, yeah, I mean, I was just thinking of the Tour de France also, like if it's a long climb, I also can do it. So I just try to make it as long as possible. And then, yeah, I hope it's enough. And yeah, luckily it was enough.
Well, you said that too, after your Amstel gold, so that's your solo win. You went long up the last bit. And you said too, you looked at your power, you felt good and it was the plan and you knew no one else could do your power. That's a lot of confidence.
I mean, I know they can probably do the same, but if I have a gap already, they need to put way more power than I was doing at that moment. So then I knew like, okay, then it's almost impossible for them to come back. So unless I have a puncture or something, that's of course always, possible, but yeah, you're really not hoping for that kind of stuff, of course. But yeah, it's just when you have a gap with only 1K to go, then it's really hard for the rest to come back to you.
And really, one of the things that's been so impressive to watch is the teamwork that you guys have. And You know, I mean, you look at a team that looks, you know, unbeatable in these races, and it's just, in your interviews and you're talking about it, it just seems like you're able to relax in the role because your team is protecting you so well, and they, and you're able to make those moves that you have to when things get really hard, but in the other parts, you're totally taken care of. Does that help you feel confident?
Yeah, that helps a lot. I mean, also in Flash, in the last part, I was alone, but it was because my teammates, yeah, they really burned themselves to catch the breakaway for me. And then, and then it was just up to me. And then, like, the whole race, I can almost kind of sit back and just rely on them, that they control. And yeah, that's really amazing. Of course, I really need to stay focused, because if the favorites goes like they went to Flash, then I need to be there. And like, I was not there. So it was really a stupid mistake for myself. But yeah, then I was so happy to have my teammates still around, that they could, almost close the gap, and then I could jump. That's really important to have a strong team around you, because it makes your life a bit easier.
I think SEWorks is definitely the team to beat. You guys have such a strong team, like Mari was saying. And at times, though, I feel like you guys have so many options to play in these races. And I know you would have celebrated Marlin if she, you know, her win yesterday, if she did stay solo. Prefer to get third, I thought was incredible. I did see also Rooster did just sign through 2024. So you still have that huge engine with you for a while, which is exciting.
Yeah, lick me. Yeah.
But does it ever get confusing when sometimes I feel like there's so many leaders and options on your team? Does it ever get hard to decide who's the designated leader that day?
Not really, because also, like, in the beginning of the year, we can say, like, which races we really want to win. Mm-hmm. And this is always funny, because everybody says something different. So for me, this was Amstel at the beginning from this year. For Lotte, for example, it was Roubaix. For Marlon, it was Flanders. And so on. I mean, everybody says something else. That's really funny. And then we really try to help each other that day, because we also know how important that is for that person. And but sometimes it goes differently. And yeah, it's racing, so you cannot really say, okay, today you're going to win. I mean, in Flanders also, like, this was a crazy, yeah, crazy thing that just happened on the Koppenberg. We were out with three of our team, and then the strongest of our team on that moment was just Lotte. And then it's really shit for Marlon, of course, but she also know, like, okay, Lotte was stronger than me today, so then it's not a problem for her also. And maybe next year. And also Marlon is, of course, a rider, but it's difficult for her, I think, to win races, because she's super, super strong, but she almost needs this long solo attack. And of course, everybody knows, so it's even harder for her to go away, because everybody will be in her wheel. So if she can win that way, then we are so proud and so happy. Like she did in Gent Wevelgem, that was such a strong solo. So I don't know. It always comes good. And also, like, in the races, for example, in Amstel, that was my goal. But if I felt in that race like I'm not good enough today, then I would say immediately to Lotte, Lotte, I'm not good enough. So then we switch to Lotte, of course. And I think that's very important, that we are like, for us, it doesn't matter who wins, as long as we win as a team. And we really believe in this. And you see it by the results. Like, we had a lot of wins, but also with a lot of different riders. And that's even more special in my eyes.
It's just like, I mean, it's just classic to see how you guys race together and the communication that you have out there. And I know you were saying, like, with Lotte, you guys communicate in race, like, if one's not feeling good, to let the other know. But one of the things that I notice is the way you guys are able to, when you're out there, make good decisions. It's almost like the other person you feed off each other, you know, the way you control a race, or, you know, you all know exactly how to execute your plan without necessarily having someone, a director in the car, needing to hear what's happening and then tell you what to do. And is that, do you think, just from having grown up in the sport for so long?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think, like for myself, I'm still really learning, and I see that this year I made a big step. For example, Lotte, she's really like such a good racer. She can really read the race, and to race with her, you also really learn from her, because you can really see that she is, she understands it, and that she knows what's going to happen. And if you're on our side, then she tells you also, and I don't know, you really learn from her, and we learn from each other. And so yeah, in the races we grow really with each other, but also like in training camps, we do always a lot of we always ride finals on an end of like 3 hour training, and then we do a little final from 8K. And that's also super interesting, because you race against each other, and sometimes we make three teams, or sometimes we make couples, or sometimes we get a note with a secret plan for ourselves we need to do, and everybody gets a different note. So it's always really fun to do those kind of little finals, and you really learn each other, how everybody is racing. And that's, I think, really important, because you really understand how everybody is on their limits also, because that's of course different as a normal person. In the evening by dinner, then you're different as that you're in a final on your bike, of course.
It's so interesting. Yes. I love it.
It's a great way to learn how to, you know, each other's actions and what's going to happen under pressure. I think it's like so smart, and you can see it out there, obviously, the way you guys, work together. I also was really wondering, you know, it looked like this year you've made another step up, you know, I mean, obviously with all these wins and a step up, like personally, but also as a team. I was wondering if there was something that kind of you attribute that to, was it something in your training? Was it something that you shifted over the off season, or is it just natural progression that, you know, of what's happening for you?
I really believe it's like, from everything a little bit. I think I worked a little bit harder, a bit more. Mentally, I made a lot of progression, because I started to work with a mental coach. Of course, because I'm stronger now, I also have kind of more room in the races to think, because if you're really on your limits, you cannot think. So I think it's really like all those little steps make that I'm now again a better rider, and so also a bit of natural progression. And also I always say 1 year older, 1 year, 1 year wiser, so that also helps, I think. But yeah, I think it's a bit of everything.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely
go ahead
Allie.
We get so excited to talk to you. I can definitely see how your training has shifted. And I think it's really interesting on this mental coach, because you say a lot in your interviews, you're always so kind and gracious to your teammates. And I don't know how much you actually watch yourself race. I don't know if it's me or Jan, your fiance, that watches you more, or maybe my husband, but like we love watching and cheering you on. And you have such a calm focus about you for being relatively new in your progression as a professional at this level. Can you tell us a little bit more? You often say, you know, I can only control, you know, focus on what I control, let go what I can't. And if you see your body language on the bike, there is chaos behind you, and you just have this ease, and maybe your pain face is actually a smile, or it just looks like a smile. But can you tell us a little more on how you can calm that focus to then really do your best, and what you've learned from your mental health coach there?
I think, like, for example, like one of the things that I got from my mental coach was like a kind of a practice. So I needed to think, or like needed to write down what I was thinking on a moment that I was really in pain. And that's really interesting, because first you think like, I probably think nothing, and that's also fine. But then if you do training races or races, then this question is really coming up in your head. If you're really in that pain mode, then I'm really, then at one point, like in Nieuwsblad, for example, I was like, at one point starting to attack, because this is something like, if there are going attacks, then I find it always really hard to focus on what kind of attacks I need to follow. Because at one point, if I start to follow attacks, I keep on going, like I keep on following. And at one point you're done. And then like, for example, Marianne Vos goes, and you think like, oh shit, she also was here. And then, yeah, you missed it because, yeah, you did already so many attacks and then you missed it. So then like on moments like this, I really need to think by myself, okay, wait a minute, what am I thinking now? And how am I going to react on this? And by just thinking of this question for my mental coach, like, what are you thinking on the moment that you are in pain? Then, yeah, this question comes up in your head, like, oh yeah, now I'm in pain. What am I thinking now? And that's something, yeah, where you really start to learn yourself as a cyclist also. And then you can also, yeah, make the good decisions instead of just doing stupid and following every attack. I think this is something what I really learned, but also I do a lot of yoga, and also I started with meditation before the Tour de France last year, and now I do it more regularly. And I think also this helps me, yeah, when I'm really or nervous or in pain, then I just try to focus on my breathing or focus on my teammates around me, or just thinking, okay, just focus on your goal, what's coming up. In Amstel, for example, it was that one attack. I did already a lot of visualizations, like trying to imagination already how I'm going to do that attack. And then if that moment is there, it's way more easy to also do it, because you kind of practice it already mentally a lot of times. And then if that moment is there, you're like, okay, just do it. And then you're not even thinking about it anymore. So yeah, I think that all that those things help me a lot.
That's awesome. That's such great work. Well, we had a couple other questions too, because you ride with such joy. And yes, you're in pain, and putting out that power and attacking is hard, but you take that pressure and you exude so much joy on the bike, where I've read where too you say, this is my job, but it feels like a hobby because you love it so much. You love riding your bike and being one of the best in the world still, but having, obviously, we can see it, that you really love what you're doing and you're inspiring so many people to do that. So what keeps you finding that joy on your bike when you're on long solo training rides or doing, you know, be your teammates last 8K of a training ride? Like, what keeps bringing that joy to your soul as you inspire all of us?
I think first of all, it's like just going out, being in nature is always really, I don't know, it always makes me so happy, and I feel always much better if I come back from a ride. I think also like, I don't know. It's just, I really like to be outside. And if you're like a bit stressed or you need to make a decision or I don't know, and you don't feel like riding the bike, but you just go, and then eventually you're outside on the bike and you feel so much better, and you suddenly can make the decision and the stress is gone, and yeah, you feel so much better. And I really like, I live now in Switzerland and it's so pretty out there, so I always really love to go out and make a nice adventure loop, for example my gravel bike, and then I get lost 10,000 times. And then in the end, I'm walking with my gravel bike on my shoulder in the forest somewhere. Beth is gone, and then I just need to laugh at myself. I'm like, what am I doing here? How did I end up here? But I enjoy it so much. It's just, there's nobody there to judge you, right? I don't know. It's just freedom. It's really, yeah, I always really like it.
People really love gravel cycling here. And for those that don't know, Dani is also the Dutch national gravel champion.
Yeah,
not I'm not going impressed with. Oh, not anymore.
Okay. No. It's also 2022.
Oh, darn it.
It's just 21, it was. Yeah.
Dani, I have a question. You know, we're talking about inspiration and stuff. And obviously, we're inspired by your performances and, you know, so happy for you. But I think something that's really important is the inspiring generations, you know, so like the young women right now watching you who are seeing your amazing results and seeing you out there doing what you're doing. Do you ever think about how you're affecting like the future of the sport in this way? And how did you, like, what inspired you to get you involved? Loaded question.
Yeah, I think a lot about this because I also really want to inspire people to go outside and enjoy the bike as much as I do. And because also I really believe it helps you. If I look back how I was as a kid, I was always really like really active, but also really, really shy. But like riding my bike really made me as a person more complete, and I learned so much out of it. But also, yeah, now it's just my job or hobby, and I love it so much. But yeah, I really hope a lot of people find out one day how nice it is to ride a bike or just to be outside, because it helps you with so much things. Your life gets much more balanced, I think, if you go regularly outside and do some sports. Yeah, and the bike is just a really nice way, because also like it's not so injury sensitive, I think. So it's kind of, yeah, everybody can do it. So I think it's an easy way to enjoy nature also.
I asked the internet to, you know, what they wanted to know about you. We know you have a busy schedule, so we're just still so thrilled. Just a little bit back on that background. So my grandfather got me into the sport of cycling, and I read that your grandmother went to the fair to buy you your first bike. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And then, you know, you have a brother and two sisters, and you... Tell me a little bit about your floral design. You're working in a flower shop. You come from a family of gardeners. Is that how you say it? And yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like my dad grows flowers. So yeah, I don't know. As a kid, I always saw that, of course. We live also next to the company, next to the greenhouses. So yeah, as a kid, I was already working there already, like a lot. And then later on, when I needed to pick a study, I really had no clue what I wanted to do. Also, like, I really didn't like school. I really didn't like to learn out of the books. I was just always really happy when school was finished and just could go outside, put on my old clothes and go jumping around, like in the fields and just playing around outside. So yeah, then I needed to pick like a study. In Holland, it's already when you're 16, I needed to choose a site that I was going to do. And I really found it hard, but I ended up actually on the flower school. It's funny because like my mom also was a florist when she met my dad, but she never talked so much about it because they really don't wanted to push me into a direction that I needed to go. They really wanted to let me free in my decision. And then I ended up anyways on the flower school. And then I did flower design, and yeah, was really nice study. But and then I started to work in the flower shops. But I always had the feeling like I want to try to go for sports. I come from ice skating. And I had, when I think when I was 17 or something, I had a really good season on the ice. And yeah, I wanted to know if there was a future for me in ice skating. And then I said, like, after I graduated from flower design study, I said, like, okay, and now I want to give it 1-2 years to see if this works out. And if not, then I can work anyways, like in the flower shops. But then after I got graduated, I ended up anyway working because I did some internships with different flower shops. So I kind of stayed there to work also. And yeah, then it got a kind of delayed. And then I learned Jan, my fiance now. And then we went sometimes to the Ardennes for riding the bikes. Yeah, I was not, like, I did races already, but on a club level. I was not so good. But then in the Ardennes, he said to me, I think you have a lot of talent. If I was you, I should stop, like, ice skating and focus fully on cycling. And at first I said, like, no, are you crazy? I love ice skating. I cannot stop that. But yeah, then in the end, I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, maybe it's true. And then I switched from a cycling club. And then actually I started with this trainer, and then it went really fast. After 1 year, I had my first pro contract. That was 2019 with Parket of Valkenburg. And 2 years later, I was already by the SD Works.
Wow.
Yeah, it went then really, really fast, and like I really enjoyed it. But yeah, it was a crazy, yeah. Also, like when I switched cycling club, I halfway the year I stopped with working in the flower shops because I really could not like combine it well. Because in a flower shop, you're the whole day standing on your legs, and yeah, I don't know, it's pretty hard work. So then I decided, like, okay, I stopped with work now and I really focus now on my cycling career. And that turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I would say.
Amazing. And it's still, you're so, so young in the sport still. I mean, even though you have all these amazing results, it's a quick progression. And when you said ice skating, you mean speed skating, right?
Like, yes. Yeah. On the ice. Yeah.
And what were your distances when you were doing that? Just curious.
Yeah, just a bit of everything. But I liked most like the 1500 meters or the 3K. Yeah.
So speed skating, you weren't doing like.
No, not the figure.
No. I was imagining that in my head for a second, but thanks, Mari, for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Curious.
So. I hate to ask this question because cycling is a cruel sport this way. You have won most races you've signed up for this year, like by a landslide. You are in the record books for this Queen of Ardennes. The only other woman to do it is your team director, Anna Vanderbriggen.
Yeah.
But dare I ask you, what have you written in your journal for the rest of the season? If you don't want to share it, it's fine. But what are your biggest goals for the rest of the season?
I think this is not really a secret. I think I said it already many times, and for sure it's the Tour de France. And also, like, in the future, I don't know if this is gonna happen already this year, because I'm not really sure if the course is really suiting me. But the World Championships, of course, is also something that I really would like to accomplish one day, to have. Yeah, the pretty jersey around the shoulders, that's of course a really big dream.
I think rainbows would look so good, like, on you, and also just exude your personality. It would be all the joy on the outside. But would you wear white shorts or not? That's a good question.
I'm not sure.
I had a couple other lighthearted questions as we wrap up. I know you're so busy and we really appreciate your time, but some questions from the audience here. We need to talk about Flo. Flo is your dog, right?
Yeah.
And she travels around with you, and she's been at the podiums lately, at the start and the finish of the race. Can we get her on a podium sometime? Can you ask the girls just like if she can come up there with you? Kids.
Yeah. She was with me on the gravel podium when I won the Dutch championship gravel. But yeah, that's of course a bit, I don't know. It's been more easier there. Like
the more spirit of gravel.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, maybe I can do this.
Yeah.
I think she had like
funny stories about Flo. Let us know. But she is a big dog influencer.
Yeah.
Don't, if you keep her around too long, she might be more famous than you.
Yeah, and she almost is already, because like if my parents are walking with her by races or in like Jan, then people always come up to Flo and they always say like, ah, is this Flo? Is this Flo, the dog of Damien? And then they're like, yeah.
You're funny. And my husband, Blaze, Lance actually likes Blaze and he doesn't like a lot of people. So we lucked out with this, but Blaze was able to work on your bike when you were out here in California racing. He's very proud of that, by the way.
Yeah.
He was very meticulous and concerned to make sure you guys were all great. And of course, Amy Peters was there as well, which was very special for us. And he got to meet Jan, your fiance, and Jan has a fan club now. So Blaze inserted a lot of questions, like when Damie rides, does she only think about Jan? When she rides, does she know what a good fiance and what good style he has? And so his question was, what hair prog does he use to have such great hair?
Oh, God. I don't know. Sometimes he even uses my shampoo. So.
And I had a few women ask, you have the most amazing eyes and your smile, especially when you're winning, is very awesome. But they're curious what mascara you use, that it doesn't ever run while you're racing.
Something from L'Oreal, I think. But I'm not sure. But it's not waterproof.
I don't know. It's waterproof either, and it works. Sorry, that's our girl question. You might not get that on the TV tonight. And then the other one was on your van life. So if you... Please, everybody, follow Damie on Instagram. She's extremely active. She has gorgeous photos and just really fun content there. But something we really love to watch, too, is this. You've built out a really cool van and you guys travel around Europe. So van life's very big here in the United States. But you're up in the Alps. You have the dog in your backpack. You're doing your gravel routes. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your van life experience?
Yeah, we really love to go on van adventures, and we try as much as possible in between the races. And sometimes it's really difficult also, because if I have really a hard training block, for example, then I sometimes prefer to be at home. But actually, it's always really nice also for a change, because for example, after races, after Flanders, for example, Jan was there with the van, and then we traveled back from Belgium to Switzerland. It's a 6-hour drive, a little bit more with the van. And then we just, after the race, because only finished at 6 in the evening, we just parked it somewhere on the side of the highway and just slept overnight. And then the next morning we did the rest. It's just really nice always. And for example, last year I did the Reckon for the Tour de France with it. Then Jan sometimes moved already the van, and then I just rode from one point to the other point. And yeah, that was a really great time. And yeah, it's really nice to also have this also a change, because I'm so much in hotels, and before races you're not really going on adventures anymore or something. And then after races, I enjoy it so much to go out with the van and just be out in nature and just enjoy everything. And I don't know, it's always, if you have kind of more time when you're in your van, because life is much more easier in the van. I really enjoy it always.
Debbie, we are so excited that you are with us today. I have one last question about where we get to be watching you next. And if you're taking a little break now to build up next for your next stuff, or kind of what your plan is moving forward? Because we want to see you again soon.
Yeah. Well, we'll be pretty soon because I do Vuelta and it's next week already. So yeah, we will fly there on Saturday. So I've only a small week.
I was wondering if you were doing Vuelta or not. But
yeah, I do.
That'll be amazing. Yeah. We will definitely be cheering you on there. And yeah, once again, we are so so thankful for the time and really to promote you and celebrate you, your accomplishments, and just knowing what you're doing for the sport and this huge influence you have. And I think those rainbow jerseys are definitely in your cards. So thank you again. I took this from you, but you have this on your website. If you can dream it, you can do it. And you have thoroughly made me believe that. I just got the chills, and hopefully anyone listening is, if you can dream it, you can do it. And yeah, one of the best cyclists in the world, that is you right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me. That was fun.
All right. Well, good luck tonight with all your other media obligations, but know that you have a huge fan base over here and everywhere across the world, and you're really making a difference, and we really appreciate you. So
thanks.
Shine in that light.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
And okay, there we go. Wrapping up the farm with Dani Bollering. Woohoo! We'll see you guys next time. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll be right back.